Now I grew up down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. I still live in the sticks where you wouldn't go. In a town of 1200 off an old dirt road. And a country boy is all I'll ever be.
You guys will have to excuse the bad audio quality on this show. The phone that I was using to record before decided to have a meltdown, and I no longer, or when I bought a new phone, it no longer has a headphone jack, and it will not work with the recording headset that I used before. The new iPhone, whatever it is, does not have a headphone jack like my old phone did. So I'm just using the main speaker on my phone, or the microphone on my cell phone. So I apologize in advance if the audio quality on this show is quite terrible. I am working on trying to get a setup with my computer so we can use a computer for recording podcasts from here out. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mountain Man Dan Show. Just me today. Nick's having some more tornado issues, and well, we've been trying to get together for the last couple weeks and just hasn't worked out, and I wanted to try to get an episode out, so just doing by myself real quick, I figured. Let's see. Since the last episode, I think I've gotten three new guns. One in particular, I think we will talk about on the show quite a bit coming up. That one is a Marlin Model 94 Classic, JM stamped with a Ballard cut barrel. So I'm guessing it is fairly old, but it is a post safety model. It does have the little cross bolt safety on it. But yeah, the 22 inch short tube. Really, really nice wood on it. And I've been shooting it a little bit lately. I gave $600 for it. Had a little Weaver 4-power scope on it when I bought it, and I pulled that off pretty much instantly. I've got a Skinner sight on the way for it, Skinner peep sight. I have I shouldn't say I have trouble shooting buckhorns. I just don't like shooting buckhorns. I'm not really a fan of buckhorn sights. But I'm not a fan of scopes on a lever gun either, so I pulled the scope off of it, and I've got some Skinner peep sights on the way. But yeah, it came with 200 rounds of factory ammo, so I've been shooting that up a little bit here and there. I've got some bullets and some brass and a set of reloading dies for it on the way. So hopefully, here in the next coming weeks, we will be shooting that one a little more and talking about it. But so far, I'm really liking it. It's definitely becoming a new favorite. And then, let's see, what else? What else did I get? What else did I get? Let's see here. Why? Oh yeah, I got that. I got a Ruger American 223 that I picked up. It's an older, it's one of the early Ruger American 223s that still had the plastic rotary magazine versus the new ones that take AR mags, but nonetheless, I got it new in the box, unfired, for $300. And then I put, I had a Vortex Crossfire 2 3-9x40 laying around, so I just stuck that on there real quick, and I've been shooting it a little bit, not a whole lot, just, you know, test fire. I put the scope on it. I had some 55 grain ball ammo that I just, you know, put a rock out at 100 yards and adjusted the scope till I hit the rock, and good enough for now. And then I haven't really shot it a whole lot yet. I had an old muzzle brake laying around I stuck on there just for giggles, and a bipod. Come summer, I'll probably throw that in the truck, or probably next fall, I'll kind of get thrown in the truck and become a varmint rifle. But in the meantime, it's just going to be sitting here, not doing a whole lot with it. And then The other one I picked up, the third one I picked up, is a older... I shouldn't say older. It's one of the newer, or one of the last one, of the Smith & Wesson SD9 VE pistols. You know, Glock 19 Mark II is what I always call them, because most of us gun guys know that Smith & Wesson got a fairly serious lawsuit over the, what then, when it was called the Sigma, and then lost a bunch of money to Glock, and then they came out with the VD, or the SD9 VE, or whatever it is, SD9 VE, I think it's the SD9 VE, I'd have to go grab the pistol to get the exact numbers and letters off of it, but anyway, they made some slight modification to it, so I picked that up, also again, new on Fired. I gave $260 for it. And it's just going to be kind of a, you know, throw in the glove box of the truck or forget about. Or last year when I was working, I carried had a Glock Model 48 that I kept in my lunchbox before I got rid of it so I could buy my Model 29. And it might kind of take the place of that. So far, I'm actually liking it better than any of the Glock, you know, 19 or 48 that I had. Just because I like the grip shape and angle a little better. The trigger on this one, I've definitely felt SD9 VEs with worse triggers. They're not known for having a good trigger. And this one has a, I'm not going to say an exceptional trigger because it's still horrible, but a usable trigger. It's right about the same as what you'd expect on a Gen 3 Glock Model 19. And... you know, it doesn't, it's not real horrible. I'm probably going to order an Apex trigger for it, just to see how much of a difference it makes on these older pistols. I know on the newer Smith & Wessons, like the M&P9s, the Apex triggers do make a huge difference. I'm not sure how much of a difference it will make on these older ones, but we'll see. They do make a trigger kit for it, and there's a couple other companies that have trigger kits for the SD9 as well. But I'll probably just go with an Apex because it's, you know, fairly well-known brand. I might do a stipple job on it, and we'll just kind of see where it goes. We might talk about that one a little bit in upcoming weeks. And then I think Nick got a couple of new guns. I don't really know what all he got. I know he got a little Bond Arms Derringer that we were going to talk about, and it just hasn't worked out where we could get together. When he's up and about, I don't have time. And then, like tonight, I had time, and he was having a tornado warnings again. So we're just gonna carry on without him for now. But anyway, let's talk about the Marlin 3220 a little bit more. I walked into a gun shop here a couple weeks ago, a gun shop that I go into all the time, and there it is, sitting on the shelf, and pretty much instantly knew I had to have it. It's just the oddball kind of thing that I like, you know, something that nobody else really wanted. So, since I'm not working at the moment, you know, between spring and summer, winter and summer jobs, we're a couple weeks of being unemployed here. I didn't really just have the extra $600 worth of spending money laying around. So, I had a snow machine that I've been hemming and hawing about selling, and finally just made up my mind, you know, I had to put a new engine in it and some different stuff, and finally just decided to go ahead and sell it as is, where is, knows it needs work, and got enough money out of it to go ahead and buy the Marlin. So was real happy about that. You know, of course, I talked to Andy Larson with over at Skinner Sights with it, and he said he would like to have it if I didn't get it, and that didn't really help with the temptation to get it for myself. But so I finally did. I went back in about a week after I saw it and bought it. I've shot about 100 rounds of the factory ammo through it. You know, when I first picked it up, I just went down to the range. It still had the little Weaver. It had a Burris 4-power scope on it. In a Weaver, it was one of those older Weaver tip-over bases that would tip to the side so you could still see the irons. So I went to the range, you know, and just picked some pop cans and whatever else was laying around, you know, out to about 100 yards, you know, just pick at this, pick at that. And then I noticed once I realized the scope tipped to the side, I got to look, and then, oh, it's just a flathead screwdriver to take the scope off. So I had a flathead in the truck, so I took the scope off of it. And started shooting with the iron sights a little bit. And there was this guy next to me in the bay. The shooting range in Fairbanks doesn't really have bays. It's just, you know, a firing line. But there was a guy next to me. He was shooting skeet with a double-barrel shotgun. And he'd hit one, miss one, you know, hit both sometimes. But he mostly hit one, miss one. So his buddy had thrown a set that was flying real nice and low right along the berm. And he missed, hit the first one, missed the second one. So I popped up with that 3220, and I was surprised as well, but I broke that clay just before it hit the ground. He wasn't very happy with me. Oh, you can't be shooting my targets, man. I was like, well, you know, you weren't going to break it before it hit the ground. I don't think you were going to unload or reload your double-barrel shotgun that fast, but it was pretty funny. At least I thought it was funny. Then I brought it home, and I've been playing with it a little more, you know, because I adjusted the sight for 40 yards, and with the factory lead bullet ammo, it's shooting about 2 inches at 40 yards, you know, with the factory buckhorn just leaning over the hood of my pickup. But I don't expect that factory lead ammo is super, you know, a really good fit to the barrel, and it's probably not that great of ammo to begin with. So I'm basically trying to get it shot up for the brass, and then I've got some dies and bullets and stuff coming for it next week, hopefully, I think my sight's supposed to be here tomorrow, and hopefully the dies will be here pretty soon as well. And then I'll start doing a little load development and see what you'll really do. I know I got the other Marlin 94 44 mag, and if I do my part, it'll, you know, just about put them all touching at that range. So I don't imagine that the 3220 will be inaccurate with good ammo. I imagine it'll shoot quite well for, you know, what I use a 3220. I'll just use it for rabbits, you know, grouse, maybe fox hunting, that kind of stuff. So it'll, for the intended purposes, I think it'll be plenty accurate. So yeah, I'm really excited about that one. It's definitely becoming a new favorite. And I'm really looking forward to get to know it a little bit better. What else? We had a Facebook question. We were going to try to do a show a couple of weeks ago, and then things happened, you know, life got in the way, and we ended up not doing it. But I believe Nick had posted up a question on Facebook. I remember Robert from Gallant Bullets had commented on it and wanted to know, and it was something to the direction of, are we worried that the coronavirus is going to kill off all the people that care and shoot, you know, all the old people, or I think he called them boomers, is the boomer killer coronavirus going to kill off all the people who care about revolvers? No, I don't think so. I think there's plenty of us younger guys that like revolvers just well, you know. There might not be as many new people or young people getting into revolvers as there was back in the day. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I still think that there's plenty of, you know, new shooters and young people who like revolvers well enough to keep them alive. You know, I'm not an old guy, and I like revolvers. I know plenty of younger guys that enjoy shooting revolvers. You know, I specifically like big bore revolvers. If I'm shooting small stuff, I kind of prefer semi-autos. But when it comes to big bores, I love a good big bore revolver, you know, starting, you know, 44 mag and bigger. So, no, I don't think revolvers are going anywhere. I don't think the coronavirus is going to kill all the people who like shooting revolvers. Personally, I'm not really that worried about the coronavirus anyway. I think the whole thing's kind of an overhyped pile of crap. But that's all we're going to say about that. And then there was a Facebook video that's been floating around. It's been floating around my part of the country quite a bit lately, last few days. And I'll try to find it and post it up on the page after I post up this episode. But I wanted to talk about it for just a minute. There was a family, and they were hiking down around Anchorage, and Bear decides they want to come check them out. And basically, they managed to scare the bear off, but the whole time, you know, she's sitting there screaming and waving her gun at the bear when it keeps coming closer. And it bothered me quite a bit, probably quite a bit more than it should have, just to see that kind of gun handling, you know, as an Alaskan. You know, when I've run into a bear, it's happened, you know, I've run into bears when I'm out farting around in the woods. You know, if they're 10 feet away, your sights need to be on that bear. You know, your gun is trained on that bear, and I've always, in my head, or say out loud, if you take one more step, I'm going to shoot you. And I've never had to shoot a bear. They've always got the idea to go ahead and wander back the other direction. In this case, this bear was standing there, and it was probably about 10 feet away. And it took that other step and started coming towards him. And this lady starts waving her gun and screaming at the bear. And that's where it's, you know, I personally would have shot it right there. You know, it kept coming after they told, you know, they're sitting there. But it's just the way that lady was waving her gun. And then there was two guys behind her. You can see the one guy has a gun. The other guy, the people talking about the video, the people who were there say that he had a gun as well. But neither one of them were really on the bear either. And then I made a comment, and the lady in the video with the gun came back all up in my butt because, well, you know, he was behind me, and he was one day was gonna make the kill shot. It had to come to that. And I was like, well, if he was the main shooter, he should have been in front for one. And for two, if you pull a gun on something, you need to be ready to pull the trigger. I don't care if it's a bear. I don't care if it's a human. I don't care if it's a squirrel. I don't care if it's a butterfly. If you pull the gun out, you need to be ready to pull the trigger. So that video was bothering me a little bit. I'll post it up on the page if I can find it again. And you know, you guys can kind of tell me what you think about it. But other than that, can't really think of anything else that's super interesting that's happened lately. I did been doing a little reloading, just loaded up some 45 ACP the other day. Somewhere out in the, or at least I thought it was out in the snow. The snow is mostly melted now, but somewhere I have or had a, you know, 50 cal ammo can full of 45 ACP ammo. Snow came down, you know, I wasn't ready for the snow when it came down last year. I was trying to work on and finish the house and just didn't get as many things picked up around the yard as I wanted. So I assumed all winter that can of ammo was out in the yard somewhere. Spring's here now, the snow's mostly gone. I still haven't found that can of ammo, which bothers me a lot, but I was running pretty low on 45, so I cranked out about 600 rounds of 45 ACP on a single stage. Not a good time that, loading that many rounds on a single stage. I love a single stage press, you know, for working up loads and stuff, but I really need to get another progressive. I had the, Hornady lock and load AP when we were in Idaho, and I really, really, really liked it. I'll probably end up getting another one of those. I've been looking at the Dillon. They quit making the 750, or I'm sorry, they quit making the 650. They make the 750 now. And I'm kind of looking at one of those, but they are quite a bit more pricey than the Hornady setup is. I don't really like the 550. If I'm going to go, you know, if I'm going to go all the way in and get a progressive press, I'm going to get, you know, an automated one. I don't want to have to do the manual indexing. And I like at least a 5-hole turret, you know, because the time you got sizer die, an expander die, powder drop die, a seating die, and a crimp die. You know, there's 5 dies. If you can do your powder and expander on the same one, a lot of cartridges you can. I like to throw in a bullet feed die somewhere, you know, it just, makes the process that much faster. So I like at least a 5-hole on a progressive press. So like I said, I'll probably end up getting another one of the, Hornady AP, or lock and load APs. I really liked the one I had before. I loaded a lot of ammo on that thing, and I never had any issues with it. And then I loaded up as a little bit of 223 ball the other day when I got this Ruger American. Because I didn't have any for some reason I didn't have any 223 ammo, probably because I didn't have a 223. And I had a few hundred, 300 or 400 just pulled 55 grain ball 223 or bullets that I picked up somewhere. So I just 22.5 grain to 22 accurate 2230, loaded the 2.260 standard cartridge length, and I loaded up all that. So that's another few hundred rounds I cranked out on a single stage. That wasn't super fun either. But other than that, I haven't really been doing a whole lot of reloading or anything. Since the snow's been melting, I've been trying to get this yard picked up. Last week, I had that. I don't know if I ever talked about it here on the show, but last fall, I sank a 988 cat loader out in my front yard. So last week, we spent 2 days finally, once the snow was gone. We used the hot water and pressure washer and hot water and melted all the ice out around the tires on it. It was frozen down into the ground, sitting on the frame. So we had to get the frame thawed off the ground and all that. And then spent 2 days trying to lift the thing up out of the mud far enough that it would finally, grab traction on its own and drive itself up out of the hole. So that was entertaining. That was not a good time. And then trying to get ready for the summer work season, I was hoping to. We were looking at this one job that's close enough to home. I would have been able to drive back and forth every night, but we ended up not getting it. So, I had all bunch of stuff stored in my camper, tools and stuff that we didn't want in the house once we moved in. So it all went out of the camper. So I'm trying to get a shed built so I can move stuff out of the camper, and I got a bunch of repairs I want to do on my camper, put a new bed in it, and just a couple other little things that are going wrong with it that I want to try to get fixed before I go to work. I was hoping we'd get this job here local, and I'd be able to drive home every night, and then I was going to buy myself a new fifth wheel and just turn my old camper into a flatbed trailer, but just getting up there in miles and years, but then that's not the way it ended up working out, so it's gonna get at least one more work season out of it, I hope. But yeah, it's not been super eventful around here lately, just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Hopefully, here in the next few days, I'll be able to get in with Nick, and we'll get you guys a real episode where we can talk about a little bit of everything, but it's not quite as much fun doing a podcast by myself, and I'm sure it's not nearly as interesting listening to it. But that being said, I do appreciate everybody that does take the time to listen to it. Like I said, there should be some other stuff coming up. I'm really looking forward to this 3220 and maybe any modifications I do on that little Smith & Wesson 9mm. I'm not very excited about that one. It's more of a, I picked it up because it was a good deal, and I didn't have a, for whatever reason, I didn't have a 9mm pistol either. Probably, I used to have several of them, but the last one, the only one I brought up here with me was that Glock Model 48, and I sold it at the last gun show because I had to have that Model 20, that 5-inch Model 29, and I needed the cash, so I sold the Glock. I haven't had 9mm since then. So I'm not really super excited about the SD9, but we might talk about some of the upcoming modifications I'm going to try to do to it. Stippling, trigger job, might throw some different sights on it. We'll see where life leads on that one. But other than that, I can't think of anything super interesting going on over here that's worth bringing up on a show by myself. So I appreciate everybody taking the time to tune in. And we will see you next time.